listening to them. I'm like, okay, you know. Oh, don't worry about me. I'm okay. So in the beginning of this year, we started talking about what it means to totally surrender. And Sister Helena told us that, you know, it means to lay down whatever it is, lay down your burdens, lay down your cares, lay down your issues, and not just to lay it down. I mean, to lay it down, but to leave it there, completely walk away. And she was saying that, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to pick it back up, but we're not doing that. So I took notes, so I'm just going to leave some of the gems that I got from the playback. So we're going to totally give it to God. We're going to trust God. And Sister Rayetta, when she spoke, she talked about obedience. So surrendering comes obedience. She also said that in order to even start that process, you have to begin to share with God what's going on. You have to be honest with God. You need to be open. She also shared with us that it is uncomfortable. And sometimes it might leave you feeling uneasy. You have to believe that He has the overriding authority of your life. And I feel like all the ladies share that we can do nothing in our own strength. When Sister Mary spoke, she was telling us that with surrender comes peace. Sister Jewel, oh my God, her testimony was just like, oh, I was taking notes, like, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? Okay. With everything, in order to surrender, you have to pray. It's not just to say, okay, I'm surrendering that to God. Like, you got to pray. You got to pray. It's just so many notes here, and I would be here all night with all the notes that I wrote down. Are we ready for speakers? So tonight, I believe we're hearing from Dr. Mills, do you want to start? Lance? Carlin? Okay. Do we have a preference? Sister Sharon, it's on you. She's just gathering them.
My surrender story. Y'all here? Y'all want me to stand up? I don't have much to say, but I could tell you about one story about having diabetes when I was first diagnosed. My doctor told me I was pre-diabetic, and if I don't change, I will be one soon. I did not take it seriously. I shrugged it off. I did not say, I'm not going to get diabetes. I won't get it. Well, guess what? I got it. I did believe it when my doctor said, you have it. If you think that would have made me start taking care of myself, no, not me. I ate anything I wanted, whatever I wanted. You couldn't tell me anything. My sugar was climbing higher and higher, and years later, I was still living on the edge. Finally, one day, I was downtown with some friends of mine, and they had to go to the bank two blocks away up the street, and they said, come on. I said, I can't make it. You go. I felt so sick. My head was spinning, and I felt lightheaded, and I felt so bad. I said, God, please help me. In the name of Jesus, I was so weak, I could not shake it off, the feeling. I was so weak, I sat on the pavement, and people was telling me, are you all right, are you all right? And I said, I was all right. I said, God, please help me out of this. I looked up, not realizing where I was sitting at, and I was across from Jefferson Hospital. I said, thank you, Jesus. And I got up. I made myself get up. Walk over to the emergency room with my blood pressure being below 49. They couldn't hardly read it. They could see how weak I was. I was in the hospital for 30 days. I had a stomach infection and the poison was in my stomach. I had 2 surgeries to get the infection out. And I am still on the battlefield with diabetes, but I am winning the war. And that's when I surrendered to God. I said, Lord, thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for helping me.
Everyone knows me, but I'm going to introduce myself as Carla. Last week I was Karen Carla, so I'm going to pick up where I left off last week. I have another C name that I'll introduce later on. What can I say? What was opened up to me last week was I know the prophets noticed that I tend to care too much, and that is the truth. I put everyone else's needs before my own, and how I spell my love is I give a lot of my time. Okay, I'm very unselfish with my time. So much so anything that I needed to accomplish never gets done. Okay. And I know through that process I learned not to just blame others because it is ultimately up to me. And so God has been dealing with me is letting my yes be yes and my no be no because it started spilling over to my spiritual being. Okay. And I knew that that can't happen. When it comes down to relationships, my children, bad friendships, you know, I had to really get to a point where I said enough is enough. I got tired of calling upon my spiritual friends, and I would always pick up the phone and say, you know, got the situation, this and that, and I always would find myself doing that. So until recently, even Sister Helena was calling me, are you okay? Is everything okay? I would just text her a little short sentence. I'm fine. I'm good, you know. And normally I would pick up the phone and call. I said, something just came over me. I know it came over me. I was led by the Holy Spirit. I found myself doing things differently. I couldn't say that I made up in my mind. I just found myself doing things different. I had like a shift in the atmosphere. What else? Really doing a lot on the top of the list is my children because they became distractions, you know. Still trying to distract me, but I'm in a different mind space right now. And relationships, like I had to let a 20-year relationship go because it was very toxic to me. And it was another distraction for me. My job is fine, but my health, not so much. And through it all, I still had faith. But faith without works is truly dead for me. And I had to get to the point where God allowed me to show me what I need to do that was different. And so I began to just turn in the doggone TV off. You know, I didn't even care anymore. Just something really just came over me. I tuned the kids out, you know. I said, look, this is my private time. I started spending time, you know, with God. And what started me was reading my daily devotions. And I noticed that something was up with the devotions that I'm reading. You know, they were, like, right on time, you know. And I said, this couldn't be no more than perfect. This is God's perfect timing for me. And I believed all this time that God was doing something behind the scenes, going to change it. But again, I got tired of nothing happening. I know my God is progressing, you know. And that is the reason why I'm still stuck. And I was like, if I don't do anything, get up and literally do something, I'm just going to keep going around and around and around and around. And I see myself never getting off. And I said, I got to get off this boat, you know. And so I'm going to relate it to those are the mountains that I had to climb. And I feel like I'm now at the top of the mountain, but I can't seem to climb over, you know. And so now I'm at this peak, and even though I'm so high up with all this stuff that I'm dealing with, I started to feel really low. And that's when I felt God met me where I was at and picked me up, and he literally turned me around. And
all I could say is, wow, it's happening. You know, it's really happening. And like, all I did was gave him my time and push everybody else to the side. So it caused me to separate from not just my friends who was giving me godly advice, but I knew I had to walk this walk alone. You know, I started going to the gym, you know, and all of a sudden I lost all this weight. You know, I'm being like, what did you do? What did you do? And I was like, I'm just happy. I'm just peace, you know, I'm at peace. But I started listening to worship songs, and I'll get on that treadmill, and I was like, spend 4 hours, and I was just, now I developed an awe for God, you know. And, you know, people hear me singing in the locker room and everything. Oh, you can sing. No, I can't, you know. But it was all good. I had a good testimony. You know, where people were noticing things different about me. I said, oh, yeah, God just showed up, and he's showing off, you know. And say that to say that I know everyone else had mentioned it before, but you have to get to the point, you know, where you're honest, you know. I definitely knew all along that I couldn't do nothing of my own self, but to say it, to quote it, and to do it is a different thing. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, I can, but am I going to do it? You know, and what does it mean for me was just simple stuff. Turn that TV off, say no to this, say no to that, and tune up on God, you know. And so I surrender, okay. I surrender my fears because I can never get me to do this, what I'm doing now. Okay, that's why I said last week I was caring Carla, but this evening I'm courageous Carla. Okay, and so I know I talk a lot, you know, all things, but I read somewhere in my reading that that I'm not supposed to be concerning myself on what the words that I'm going to speak about, and that's when God works his best, you know. It's me standing here, and so what if I get embarrassed, if I'm not, you know, sometimes I get off kilter, but who cares if I get embarrassed, you know. That's when he's going to show up, and he's going to show out, you know. So I surrender to me means coming to the realization through the leading of the Holy Spirit, through my desperation, my inspiration, my motivation, and my separation. And Helena heard me say that before. So over the years, he's been giving it to me. And I said, oh, Helena, I got to add on realization. And now through her, I got to add on separation, because that was my breaking point when I just said, stop going to others. You always look for validation. You know, what's in you is going to come out. And I can't wait to see this tape afterwards. I can't believe I'm doing it. So just pray my strength in the Lord and the WOW Ministries. And let peace be before you and grace and mercy follow you. Thank you.
Thank you, courageous Carla. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yes. Yet, I don't know. I feel like that word was for somebody in this room, not just for you. But I'm a divert my eyes that way, though. I'm not going to look at them. Yes. Yes, Moses was not a public speaker. Right? No. But God called him. He qualifies those that he calls. Are you ready? All right. Dr. Mill? Hey. Praise God. Okay. Just bear with me. I'm going to be speaking on victory and surrendering with spiritual confidence. I'm going to play this song. And this song was the one that actually had me to float in the spirit. So...
Okay, now this song spoke to me as I was sitting at my desk pondering and wondering what I would say as a testimony for a victory and surrendering. And as I said, I began thinking about the stuff, all the stuff that I had been through and all the things I had to do, walking upright as a servant of God. Suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke to me about giving a testimony of being on the front line for God. How I had to face the fact that I just didn't know how I made it over as I battled back and forth with issues of life if I hadn't surrendered them all to him. I realized and thought to myself that all of us at some point will be faced with various kinds of battles, and that no one escapes problems and challenges, which are storms of life, if we belong to Christ. The good news is that God already knows what he would do as we face these difficult times, and he already has a plan to bring us to victory if we just stand in obedience. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, should humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will they hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land." The thing is that when I was going through these storms, I thought all hope was lost and I couldn't find my way through them all. I had to realize that I couldn't lose my faith. Then I thought about the storm kit that was placed inside of me that was instructed for me to use when times got hard. When storm after storm would rise up against me and they become so unbearable and out of control, where I was not able to handle or keep from going under. A time where it now becomes a state of an emergency. But the storm kit which led me to Christ gave me weapons to fight. And the instructions that were involved give specific instructions. And they required of me gathering my proverbial red blanket and the finding of the nearest closet to call on the name of Jesus. I had to learn along the way that I had been taught to worship God and make a sacrifice to surrender it all to Jesus, to give God praise and thank him in advance for what he was about to do in the midst of it all. When life feels oppressive and situations become difficult, it's helpful to remember what Christ went through and his victory. My reliance on him will help guide me through the darkest of times. Then I realized that Satan, my enemy, was the one who had been the one instigated and provoking all of my issues and pains in my life. And as Christians today, we really don't like to hear or talk about the devil. But this kind of thinking will open doors for deceptions and error. And as I stand before you tonight to tell you that Satan is real and is very active in our lives, and I needed to come to the realization that I needed to deal with him aggressively until the final judgment when he is hurled into the lake of fire. Satan is the father of lies, and he uses our minds as a battlefield to do warfare against us. He is the sword of dark and harmful thoughts, and his goal is to prevent me from enjoying the good plans God has in store for me. And he will succeed if I never learn how he operates. For I already know that he only comes to kill, steal, and destroy anything that God has planned for me. As Christians, we fight against these thoughts until a holy anger rises up in us that we set ourselves free from the enemy's attempt to keep us from enjoying all the blessings that God has intended for us. And we often get mad at other people when our anger should be directed to the source of the problem, which is Satan and his demons. But in order for me to gain victory over Satan, I had to again come to the realization that I need to legally serve Satan his notice and shut him down. To decree and declare with all power and authority that he had to leave the premises of occupying my mind, rebuking him in the name of Jesus. I had to let Satan know that I was not going to spend time worrying about what he was doing and that I was not going to believe in any of his lies. and to replace my worries with faith and trust in God. To watch him perform miracles in my life that would bring me out in my situations in victory. Because of who I am in God on the front line, I battle because of what Paul said in Ephesians 6:10-18. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of my might. But put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking on the shield of faith, where ye shall be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching therefore into all the perseverance and supplications for all saints. But when I put on the full armor of God, I am telling Satan that he has to go through Jesus in order to get to me. Satan has legions of enemies working with him and have mapped out for them to come against me. But I don't worry about it because God's word says that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And if I have totally surrendered my situation and have given them to God, the battle is already won. God puts us his best battle. Yeah, God puts up his best for battle. And for every strong enemy Satan thinks he has, God uses his strongest soldier for victory. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? For this reason, that's why I have to continue to fight and continue to surrender unto God, because the devil always fights the hardest when he knows that God has greatness in store for me. Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I have learned to hold on and fight and stand on the front line as a mighty warrior and not be afraid. I'm a child of God. And Psalms 91:11 says, for he gives his angels charge over me to keep me in all his ways. And that's why I sometimes laugh, because Satan sees me with my head down when I'm going through my difficult times, and he gets excited, thinking he has won. With every opportunity, opposition always comes, because the devil always resists our progress. He is constantly always ready to prevent the birth of any good thing that God tries to do in us or through us. And in Revelation 12:4 says, and the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that when he gave birth, he might devour the child. And to me, this indicates that the enemy is stationed and ready to devour anything in my life, which includes the birth of any success in every area of my life. And anytime God puts a fresh new idea in my heart, or gives me a dream or a vision, new challenges for my life, and I desire to give birth to it, the enemy will be there to oppose it. But if I know this ahead of time, I can press through the opposition and see God's good will to come to pass in victory. My position, however, should be to sit still and wait on God. After giving him the praise and with my eyes focused on him while he's working things out for my good. And 2 Corinthians 20:17 tells me that I didn't need to fight any battles, because the battle belongs to the Lord. And all I need to do is take my position of abiding and worshiping God and remain in that position until my breakthrough. I had to realize that I had no fight against my enemy, because I didn't know what to do. And I needed to have my eyes focused on God, because worship is not only something that is due unto God, but it also is a powerful force that shakes heaven, earth, and hell. And not only does the enemy seize the heart of my true worship, heaven sees it as well. A worshiper gets God's attention. 1 John 5:4 says, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that has overcome the world, which is my faith. And when I live by faith, I can move mountains. And I have victory over mountains because God wants me to live in victory. So I forward all issues to heaven. Jesus came not only to see that I can be saved spiritually, but also I could have a victorious life for him on earth. Therefore, no giant can stop me. Why? Because no problem or situation is bigger than God. Psalms 46, 1, 2, 3 says that God is my refuge and strength, and even for an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, I will not fear, though the earth gives way and the mountains all into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with roaring, so no mountain can turn my faith, because God walks with me and talks with me, reaching out and grabbing my hand to help me over this mountain, giving me the victory when I had no strength. I have to remember that when I'm trying to reach God, that every round goes higher and higher as a soldier and warrior on the front line. And I testify of my spiritual confidence that my God will never leave me nor forsake me. And that's why I have victory in surrendering.
Amen, Dr. Mills. So, we need to put on our full armor. We got to put on our full armor. And we don't really have to fight because the battle's already won. But if we're going to go in the battle, we got to do it on our knees. Yeah. Is there anyone else who was not scheduled to speak, but those a prompting that they want to share something with us before we close out? Okay then. Reverend Curtin, did you want to share something with us? Be good. Okay.
That's it.
All right. Yeah. So for those of us who will be listening to this later, Sister Nita shared with us that after your prayer comes your praise. Yes. Yeah. I'm sad that we're ending. I really am sad. Right. So from everyone's mouth to God's ear. Okay. All right. All right, so I will close this out in prayer, unless someone wants to jump. No, just me. Okay. Okay, then. Shall we stand? Yes, Sister Kim.
Share with everyone, and that is to close it out. I know that it is Women's Month, and you know we're all. But Reverend Curtin had brought something to Sister Lillian and I's attention on Sunday, that don't let it stop here.
Amen.
So it's not over. We need to come out and support each other and be here every Friday night. It should not be the same old. This is this room right here, this is what we should think. And that's something that he had brought to us, and he's absolutely right. And that's only, and he wasn't beating us, he was telling us what the Lord told him to let us know, that we need to be here in order to do the fight. And it's better, and we're better in power and number. So let's not let him carry it and his wife carry it anymore alone. Let's make sure that we're here, here in the building. I know some of us teach, you know, new members and different things, but be here and be supportive, and let's be prayer. So don't let Women's Month be just Women's Month. Let it be every month that we're here for the tabernacle, for our pastor, and for ourselves. Because that's how we get. That's how we be. Dr. Mills has said, that's how we do it. And it takes power in what?
Prayer.
So it's easy. It's free. Come on in. There's no money. Just come on in. And you come in, look, I got on my pajamas. So just come on in, okay? All right. I'll talk to JC later about you. Go ahead. You little special. Soak you up.
Well, Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for everyone who made it out this evening, Father. Father, we ask that you cover all of us as we make our way from this building. Father, I thank you for every woman who got up and gave a testimony, Father. Father, we know from hearing one another's stories, we, one, can see how we can relate to one another. We see that we are not distant from one another. We see that we are actually connected. We see that we have similar experiences, Father. And even if I have not experienced what my sister has experienced, at the very least, I now have a gem of knowledge so that if I do experience it, I know what I can do in that situation, Father. Father, I just thank you for this Women's Month. Father, I thank you for bringing me here to share this with these women, Father. I thank you for everything that they've shared with me. Father, I hope that anything that I've said has imparted some wisdom to them, Father. And Father, I just ask that we continue to come alongside one another, Father. I just ask that we help support one another. I hope that we just, you know, give strength to those who are weak, Father. And Father, not just that we as women come around one another to support one another, that we also support our men, Father, because our men get weak as well, Father. Father, please give us the strength to help raise up their arms, Father. Father, we pray for the leaders of our church. We pray for our pastors. We pray for our deacons. We pray for our deaconesses, Father. We pray for our soon-to-be First Lady, Pastor what's her whole name? Samuels Ford, Father. We pray for her first. We pray for her first sermon as pastor, Father. We pray that all these things come to being, Father, as we just pray that your will comes to being, Father, on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, in your name I pray. Amen.